We hear a daf lamed zayin amid beis, Baruch Hashem, making really nice fragments.
Yeah.
We'll have to decide what to do when we finish the parak. Should we review it from the beginning again, or should we go on to something else?
I think it would be a good idea to review the parak.
Yeah, okay. We'll take a vote on it.
It doesn't have to take all week, but a good idea to review it.
So we're about halfway through the Omud, but I want to review with you what we did on the top of the Omud. And we were speaking about the fact that according to Rabbi Meir, we need two parshios for Kimlei b'derabim minei. Even though, with regard to Momon and Malkus, Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that you get both. That's called Loka Mishalim. But with regard to Misa, we need two parshios. We need two psukim. We need the pasuk of Ason, and that's going to teach me Misa u'mamon. And then we need the pasuk de Rishoso, and that's going to teach me Misa u'malkus. And the Gemara goes through an entire tzrichusa here to explain why one would not suffice. Why do we need two yalfuses? And the Gemara says that Misa u'mamon, there perhaps we would think that since it's chadag begufe v'chadag b'mamoni, they're two separate punishments. Then we apply the principle of Kimlei b'derabimine. We only give him one out of the two. But Misa Malkus, the Gemara thinks in the Havavina, is called Misa Richta. It's all one punishment. And if, on the other hand, we had the limud of Misa Malkus, that's Kedei Rishoso, we would think that since both are begufe, they're both corporeal punishments in his body, therefore, we're not going to mete out two punishments. But if they're two separate punishments, one to his property, one to his body, we might think that in that case we can impose both punishments. And then we had a sugya trying to analyze the other psukim in the Torah that seem to suffice, that seem to be able to play the same role and teach us Kimlei b'derabimine, and then we're going to have the problem, why then do we need all these psukim? So for example, with regard to a rotzeach, that in the case of a mezid, the Torah says lo sikhu kofer lenefesh rotzeach, and the Gemara understood that that meant that you cannot impose a chiyuv kofer, which is a chiyuv mamon, because we're going to take his life. So then our question is, if this be the source for kimlei b'derabimine, why would we need the source of Asor? So the Gemara answers, no. That this pasuk is not teaching me that we don't take Mamon because we put him to death, i.e. Kimlei b'derabimine, but rather we don't take a redemption, a replacement for his death penalty. He cannot buy himself out by redeeming himself with a sum of money. The Gemara asks a similar question from the pasuk lo sikhu kofer lanus el ir miklato, that if a person kills b'shogeg, we don't allow him, we don't take money from him. And the Gemara thinks we don't take money from him because of the principle of ein adam mesu mishalim. In this case, again, he's not going to get misa, but we're going to apply the same principle to ein adam gole u'mishalim. Hence, the pasuk lo yel ason is superfluous, it's unnecessary. And the Gemara once again says, no, that this pasuk is telling me that the rotzeach b'shogeg has to go into golus and he doesn't have the ability to redeem himself, to pay a fat check and say, well, I'm not going to go into golus, why don't you take my check instead? And again, we need two psukim for lo sikhu kofer, one for a mezid and one for a shogeg. Because we would have said, okay, in Mezid he's chayv misa, you know, he killed deliberately, intentionally. He has to suffer that punishment. No check could substitute. But in the case of Golos, where he's not in violation of that serious of an avera, we might think that perhaps kofar could work, and maybe we should accept a redemption. And that's what the Gemara says now, chad b'shogeg v'chad b'mezid. And this was like pretty much the end of what we did yesterday, except for the sugi v'egla rufa. We'll review that in just a minute. Utsrichi. In the case of Mazid, we would say we don't take a redemption because he is guilty of a very serious violation that's called Chamer Yisurei. But maybe for Shogi, which is low Chamer Yisurei, he's not so guilty. Therefore, we can take a redemption. But if we knew that there's no redemption in the case of Shogeg, or Rotzeach HaShogeg, wouldn't we certainly derive with the Kal Vachomer that in the case of Chomer Yisurei and Mezid, there would be no possibility of taking a kofar? So Gemara says, no, there's another Svara. And that is that maybe we should cut our losses. If a person killed somebody, Reuven killed Shimon, now we're going to take Reuven's life, so what do we gain? But we're not bringing Shimon back to life. We're just taking another neshama. Why not take money instead? And you know, with that money, we could do all sorts of great things. And he would live. And that's called in the Gemara's language the leka ibud neshama. In the case of Golos, there's no ibud neshama. But in the case of Mason, there's ibud neshama. We're going to kill the rotzeach. So we end up with two people dead. Not only the victim of the murder, but also the murderer himself. Maybe we should think that in that case we should accept a redemption. And then finally, the last thing that we did yesterday was Gemara's Kasha from a Pasuk, Li'oretz Lo'yichupar La'dom Asher Shufach Bo Ki'im B'dam Shofcho. And Gemara thinks that perhaps this Pasuk is teaching us that we have to punish the Rotzeach with Misa, and we don't accept a redemption, a pidyon, to replace his Chiyuv Misa. Lovely, we already have the cases of Lo Sikhu Kofar L'Nefesh Rotzeach, and we have the case and the Pasuk of Lo Sikhu Kofar Lanus El Ir Miklato. So why do we need another Pasuk that we shouldn't accept Kofar? So the Gemara says we need this pasuk for the halacha of what happens if we finally identify, we track down the rotzeach after we've already brought the egla rufa. So after we did the whole ritual of egla rufa, the agenda, the purpose of which is to bring about kapara, then perhaps we don't have to spill blood and kill the rotzeach when we find it because there's already a kapara. So the Gemara says that kapara is for the tzibur. But as far as the rotzeach is concerned, his kapar is nothing less than asher shufach ba, right? That ki im b'damo shav b'dam shofcho. The only way that the rotzeach could possibly achieve kapara is through his death. And that brings us up to the Gemara that we didn't do yesterday, that we're up to for today. And again, let's see if we could find the place where I'm Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. And the first word in the line is Vi'ata. And let's see how we could... if you see a Tosus, Dibur Meskel Ma'la Halon, you find such a Tosus Ma'la Halon? A little bit above that Tosus, about four lines up, Vi'ata Tevair. And the Gemara is now quoting a Pasuk in Dvarim, Perikhof Aleph. We'll read the pasuk. It says, "V'atotav ayer adam hanoki mikirbecha ki taseh yashar v'enei Hashem." In other words, there's a responsibility incumbent upon Klal Yisrael to destroy the rotzeach who is a shofech dam. Tevayer hadam hanoki mikirbecha. So the Gemara wants to know, lamali, why do I need this pasuk? This pasuk actually appears at the very end of the parasha of Egla Rufa. And we certainly know that when a person commits murder, we have to put him to death. We have many, many sources for that. So why do we need this pasuk to tell me that we have to put the murderer to death? And the Gemara answers Kidasanya. Lomali mi boile Kidasanya, for the din of the Braisa. Now, at this point, what we need is a derivation from the parasha of Egla Rufa about how to put a murderer to death. How, meaning with which Misa, and how do we implement the death penalty. This is the gory part of the Gemara. So if you're a little bit sensitive to blood, this is not a good Gemara to learn. The Gemara says the following. Minayin limumasim b'sayif shehumen atzavar. When the Torah says that you put a person to death by the sword, then how do you know exactly where you put the sword? Maybe we could pierce his heart, or I don't know, kill him from the back. I mean, there are many different possibilities of how to implement Misa Saif. And we're going to derive this halacha, exactly how to put him to death, from Egla Rufa, from the fact that at the end of the parasha of Egla Rufa, the Torah added a pasuk to tell us that the Rotzeh has to be put to death. The Rotzeh should be put to death in the same way that the Egla is Arufa, is put to death. Shehumen Atzavar. No, it's the area of the throat, right? The throat is the front part of the neck. So we're not going to kill him by piercing him in some other part of the body. And how do we know that? Talmud Lomar, from this pasuk, Vatotevaer Hadom Hanoki Mikirva, at the end of Parashas Egla Rufa, and this teaches us that the Chiv Misa, in the case of Rotzeach, who is Shofet Amnoki, should be the same as the Misa of the Egla Rufa.
So, from the back of the neck, or from?
Oh, that's going to be the next part of the Brisa. So, Hukshu Kol Shofchei Damim Egla Rufa. Now we know that a Rotzeach has to be killed with Saiv, should be killed in the same way that we put the Egla Rufa to death. Malahal ben Atzavor, from the neck, but again we're going to see it means the front part of the neck, is Af Shofchei Damim ben Atzavor, that in the case of a Shofchei Damim, a person who's guilty of murder, we're going to kill him ben Atzavor, just like we kill the Egla Rufa. So the Gemara asks, if you're equating the Misa of Saif in the case of Rotzeach to the Misa of the Egla Rufa, so just like Lahalon later in the case of Egla Rufa Bikofitz, that's a kind of a kli, we'll describe it in just a minute, Umimul Oref, and we slice the Egla Rufa's neck on the outside, is Afkan, maybe here too, we should go that far as to say that when we kill the person with a Saif, in this case a murderer, is Bikofitz Umimul Oref. Once you have this hekesh between this Misa Schaive, Misa Saif, and Egla Rufa, so why do you limit it to the Makom, to the place of the Tzavar? Maybe we should go even more specific and make an absolute equation and go to the extent of requiring a Kofitz and Mimul Ha'orif on the other side of his neck, meaning on the back side of his neck, because that's the way they kill the Egla Rufa. And the kofitz is described as a butcher's knife, which has an orech and a rochav that's equal. In other words, it's basically a short knife, but very wide. And the length of the knife, which is relatively short, is the same distance as the width of the knife. You've seen it, right? You'll see that the butchers will cut up bones with that. So maybe we should use that kli. And Rashi Masechta Bechoros derives that we have to use a kofitz for Egla Rufa.
I have an illustration here.
Oh, wow. He gives you a picture of it? He doesn't give you a picture of it over someone's neck, does he? Okay.
No.
Alright.
He spared us.
That's next page.
Yeah.
So this is a famous Gemara we're about to embark upon called the Ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. We usually derive from the Ahavta L'Reicha that we have to love someone who's a re'acha. Re'acha means he's a good guy, right? Re'acha v'torah v'mitzvahs. But this Gemara is a little bit of a different kind of v'ahavta, or shall I say, applying that mitzvah to a different kind of a person. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Bar Avua, Amar Krav v'ahavta re'acha kamocha. Bar Lo, again, the Lo is referring to someone who murdered someone who's now being put to death. And that's the law of L'Reacha, Misa Yotha. Choose a more aesthetically, or perhaps more less suffering kind of a death. So the Gemara is now deriving that the Ahuv in this pasuk of Yahavta L'Reacha is even a Rasha, who is Chayav Misas Bezdin, and we have to kill him in a way that limits his suffering to the maximum amount that we can. And therefore, we're going to kill him b'sayiv minat savor mitzala simonin. Now, I don't know if they close his eyes. I mean, you have to know the Masechta Sanhedrin for this. But in any event, they kill him in a way that he dies immediately, and he doesn't get his whole body completely chopped up, like from the neck bones. And therefore, the equation between Chayvi Misa Sayef and Egla Rufa is only in terms of the general area of the body where you do the Sayef, but not in terms of a very specific area that you do it, the Mina Oref, and not in terms of the specific Kli, the vessel that they use for the Egla Rufa, which is called the Kofitz. The Gemara is still analyzing Psukim in the Torah that seem to be repeating and teaching the same thing that we derived already from other psukim. And now the Gemara is going to have a pasuk that is going to teach us that there's no pidyon, there's no redemption for a rotzeh. He's got to be put to death, and despite the fact that he writes a fat check, we're not going to accept that as a pidyon. And that we know already from many different psukim, as we've seen earlier. So the Gemara asks, what are we going to do with the parsha of Charamim? In the parsha of Charamim, and we'll see what the word Cherem means in just a second, called Cherem Asher Yechram Min Adam Lo Yipadeh, and then it says, most you must. So what does this word Cherem mean? So the Ramban points out, based on a pasuk in Vayikra with regard to Avodah Zarah, it says, Ach Kol Cherem Asher Yechram Ish Lashem. And the Torah goes on to describe a person who is chayv misa. So we assume that the word cherem or yechram min ha'adam is referring to someone who's chayv misa. This is supported by the end of the pasuk. It says most you must. But before we get to most you must, the pasuk says lo yipadeh. So the Gemara thinks that now the Torah is telling us with regard to chayv misa's bezdin that there's no pidyon, but rather put to death. And Cherem means Misa. So Lali, why do we need this pasuk? We've already derived from the pasuk of Sikhu Kofel and Nefesh Rotzeach that Chayvim Misa's Bezdin are not subject to Pidyon. There's no way that they can get out of it and substitute money for Misa. So our answer is Miboile Lichidisanya. And now we're going to learn a little bit of Erechin. When a person says Erko Alai, no, so I will give to the Migdash the erech, the value of so and so, and he has to pay Hegdash a schum, which the Torah defines as what's called a schum katsum, a set amount, which reflects the age of a person. It also reflects the gender of the person. Is what happens if this erko that he points to so and so is a yotzei liharek? He's someone who's chayv misas bezdin. They're taking him out for the to implement the capital punishment. Is minayin liyotzei rovi omar? And somebody on the sideline says, "Eriko alai." Maybe he thinks that that's a skula for the person who's dying, you know, to somehow get a kapara. I don't know, but oddly enough, he says, "Eriko alai." Now, what's the value of a person on the market who's about to be killed? He's about to be put to death by Bezdin. Is the Bryce wants to know, minayin shalo omar klum? How do we know that he's not chayv to pay anything to Hegdish? There's no erech here. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, kol cherem asher yechram min ha'adam lo yipadeh mos yumos. So now the Gemara is reinterpreting the cherem asher yechram. And the language of yechram is a lashon of hegdesh, and the pasuk is coming to teach you that if somebody says erko shaploni olai, and that person is chayev misas bezdin, and the Torah says kol cherem, meaning referring even to a person who's chayev misa, lo yifta means he has no value, he has no erech, there's no erech in here, and therefore lo amar klum, it's completely meaningless, it's not valid. And again, even though in general you might ask the question, we never really evaluate the person where in Chiyuv Erechin. We only have the Schum Katsuv, you know, that amount that's set by the Torah. But nevertheless, The Torah here is excluding a case of a Yotzei Lihori. He's not included as Torah's Erechin. There's no Torah's Erechin with regard to a person who's being taken out to die. So the Gemara, the Braisa now asks, Yochal Af Kodem Shenigmar Din, okay? Do we have to wait until after Gemar Din? Maybe once the judges have come to some decision and the evidence is brought against him that he's guilty of a capital crime, so already at that person, if somebody takes this neder, if he says Erech Yolai, he's potter. Why? Because he's Asid Leos Chayav Misa. Al Shema Asid we can call Chayav Misa. Talmud Lomar, no, that's not so. It's only after Gemar Din. How do we know this? Because the Pasuk says, Kol Cherem Asher Yechram Min Ha'adam. Min, the word min is always a mute. It means amongst, but not all. V'lo Kol Ha'adam, not all persons. So who are we coming to exclude? We're coming to exclude someone who's not only Mechuyev Misa, but he's already after the Gemar Din. Once he's after the Gemar Din, then his status has changed. And he's not included in Cherem HaShayech Min HaAdam, but rather he's included in Lo Yipod, and there's no Din of Erech. So again, emphasize again, the style of this Gemara is to analyze Pesukim and see how to reconcile the fact that these Pesukim on the surface level seem to be repetitious and superfluous. So we've done that pretty much consistently with all the Pesukim, and each Pesuk has found its place, its Chiddush. We're going to have a few more cases coming around the bed, but first, Ula Rabbi Hananya Ben Akavya Di Omar, he says in the case of Yotzei Lihori Nerach, notice his understanding was not like the drasha that we had before, that a Yotzei Lihori is, so to speak, valueless in terms of Erechin. Rabbi Hanani had a different understanding of this parasha. He understood that since the Torah sets up a schum katsuv that's based on two variables, number one, the gender of the person, number two, the age of the person, and the Torah says exactly what you have to pay in Erechin, that's going to apply even to Yotzei Lihori. And why is that so? Nerach mipnei shedom of katsuvim, meaning I can fit him into the parasha of Erechin, where the Torah has Dov of Ktsuvim, the Torah tells us how much you have to pay based on his age. And the Torah doesn't go into what we call, like for example, in Nezikin we have a payment called Nezik, right? In Nezik we have to figure out exactly how much he's worth. And no two people are worth exactly the same. So it's not just a function of his age and his gender, but it's also a function of many other different variables. But none of those variables are relevant in the case of Erechin. So if a person says dumb of a lie, and that dumb of, he's referring to someone who has no dumb in a sense because he's a mechuyev misa, nevertheless the Torah sets up his erech, and that's kavua, that's ktsuva in the parasha of Erechin. So in other words, Rabbi Hanani ben Akavi is not darshaning the pasuk of kol cherem like the Tanakhama did to exclude a case of Yotzei Lihori from the dinim of Erechin. So hi, kol cherem my ovidle. So how, in fact, does he, Rabbi Hananya, interpret this pasuk, kol cherem? Right, if you're going to tell me again the simple pshat in the pasuk that cherem means he's mechuyev misa, therefore lo yifte, we cannot receive and accept a pigeon, a payment, a redemption for him. That we know from the pasuk lo sikhu kol fril nefesh otzeh. So my answer is mi boyle lichrisanya. So we need it for the price of Rabbi Yishmael ben Oshel Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, who says the following: Lefisha matzinu limumasim bidei shamayim. Let's say, for example, in the parasha of what's called Shor Shen Nogach v'Horiges HaOdom, so the Torah says that im Shor Nagachu mitmol shel shom v'huad bibolav, if he's a Shor Amuad, so he's been the owner of the Shor has been warned on three occasions that this shor is a belligerent shor, v'lo yishmeren, and nevertheless he's negligent and he doesn't watch the shor, he doesn't guard the shor. The shor, in fact, goes out v'hemis isho isha. So the Torah says hashor yisakel v'gam ba'olav yumas. Now the simple shot of Vagamba all of Yumas means that we have to put the owner of the shard to death. And emotionally, I would say that makes a lot of sense, just on an emotional level. Not within the halachic universe per se, where we require Maisa Ritzicha. I mean, you can't say that if the shard killed someone, that the Bailim are guilty of a Maisa Ritzicha, but you could say that they were the cause of the death of someone. Because had they protected their shard and watched them carefully, this tragedy wouldn't have happened. So that's one level of understanding Vagamba all of Yumas. But the Pasuk goes on to say Im Kofer Yushas Olav. And then the end of the Pasuk is Vinasan Pidyon Nafsho Kecholesha Yushas Olav. And Rabbi Shmuel Benoshel Rabbi Yochum, he understands that this is the real breakthrough. This is the real exception to the rule. Until now the Torah was fiercely ballistically opposed to any sort of pidyon for someone who's chayav misa. But here's a case where the Torah says that we can accept a pidyon, benosan pidyon nafsho, and we can spare him from what he deserves, which is death. So we have vagamba all of Yumas indicating that he's chayav misa. And perhaps we could say that he's chayav misa bidei shamayim, in other words, even though we can't put him to death, he deserves to die. We can't put him to death in the human courts because he didn't do a Maaser Ritzicha. He only was negligent in a passive way by not watching his shor. He didn't provide the proper shmir of his shor. So we here in Bezdin Shel Mata, we can't put him to death. But in Bezdin Shel Shamayim, in Bezdin Shel Mala, he is Chayav Misa. Why is that? Because the Torah says, V'gamba all of Yumas. You can't deny the pasuk, the gamba all of Yumas. So now Rabbi Shmuel has a real logical argument. He says, Matsina, we have a precedent. Lemumasim bidei shamayim, at least in the case of someone who's chayav misa, up in shamayim. For example, he has a sharamua that killed a person. And the Torah says, gamba all of Yumas, the bayal machayav misa bidei shamayim. And yet, shenosnim mamonim is kapalahim. And yet, even though he's chayav misa b'dei shamayim, the Torah allows him to pay and redeem himself from that misa. So, in shamayim, they're going to alleviate his chayav misa. Why? Shenemar, because the Torah says in kofer yushas olav, right after gamba olav yumos. Now, how far do we go with this? If the Bezin Shel Shamayim is willing to exonerate him and relieve him from his chayav misa because he paid a check, then maybe we should go even a step further. And Yochel, I might think, Af Misa Bidei Onam Kein, even if he's Chayav Misa in Beis Din, maybe he could patter himself up by paying a check. And again, right now, at this point, the Gemara is oblivious to the other Pasuk of Lo Sikhu Kofer, which is going to teach us the exact same thing. So that's going to be the next Kash of the Gemara. But first, the Gemara wants to suggest that the pasuk of Kol Cherem, that we, according to Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya, we didn't have a justification for that pasuk, is going to teach me that this havamin of taking the parasha of Shor HaMuad as the paradigm for redemption for Kofar and for Pidyon Nefesh, and applying it now to even a case of someone who's Chayav Misa Bidei Adam, is Talmud Lomar. Therefore, we need this pasuk Cherem Min Adam Lo Yipadet. Lo Yipadet. In other words, a person who's Chayav Misa Beis Din, there's no pidyon. Lo Yipadet. And why? Because even though in Misa B'dei Shamayim there is such an entity and there is such an enterprise called pidyon that would alleviate him from his chiyuv misa, but in misa b'dei adam, we don't have such a thing. How do we know we don't have such a thing? Why don't we just simply imitate the laws and the regulations that apply to misa b'dei shamayim and apply them to misa b'dei adam? But the answer is that the Torah says lo yipadet, and that's the need for this extra pasuk. Again, as I told you before, Rabosai, we already have a pasuk that teach me lo yipadet, and that's the pasuk of lo sikhu kofer. But right now, the Gemara is trying to understand the price of Rabbi Shmuel. And this price of Rabbi Shmuel, if we take it literally, is providing with an answer to the question of what Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya is going to do with the Pasuk Kol Cherem. And we need the pasuk kol chayrim because otherwise we would have extended the law of pidyon in the case of misa b'dei shemayim to the case of misa b'dei adam. The brisa continues. Ein li ela misos chamuros. Well, now this is a heavy sugya. I just want to say emotionally, as an introduction to the sugya, I mean, my Rebbe used to always say that there are two types of logic. There's human logic, rational human logic, and then there's the logic of the Torah, which has its own system of logic. And I think, you know, the contrast between the two is right here in this Gemara. So I'm not going to expect you to feel good about this Gemara on an emotional level, because it really works with the rules and regulations of the halacha, you know, the way the halacha, the universe of halacha operates. In Chayvei Misos, we're talking about capital crimes, there are two different categories. Because emotionally, if you would ask me, which, of all the capital crimes, which is like the worst of them all, I would have said Ritzicha. I would have said murder, which would not have agreed with me intuitively, but in a very strange sort of way, in the halachic universe, Ritzicha is on a lower level. It's less severe than some of the other averos. Because again, within the halachic universe, we work with certain regulations and rules. Now, if we want to classify Chayvei Misos into two categories, you know, you have this pyramid in which you have the more Choverdika Chayvei Misos and the less Choverdika Maisa Misos, there are many different answers to that question I could have given you, you know, in terms of which Misa the Torah says to meet out to him and so forth and so on. But our Gemara, our Braisa of Rabbi Shmuel has a whole new methodology or barometer to categorize a Misas Bezdin as either Chamura or less Chamura, more Chamura or less Chamura. And our barometer is going to be what happened if he did the exact same Avera Bishkaga, does he have Kapara? So for example, there are two Chayvei Misos Chamuros where the Torah says that if you did the exact same action Bishogeg, you don't bring a karma. There is no kaparas shogeg. So for example, you know, in Avodah Zarah or Chil Shabbos or Gilui Arayos, the Torah says that if you violate any of those Isurim Bishkaga, you chayv a karma. That's called a chatas, a karma chatas. In the case of a horeg nefesh, a ritzicha, you're also in a shogeg case, you have the availability of a kapara, that's called golos. And that puts this whole group of capital crimes into a low level. We'll call it kalos, with a kuf, relative to chamuros. Chamuros are those where, as we said before, if you violate them b'shogeg, you don't have kapara, meaning there's no karma chatos. I'll give you two examples, maybe there are others, I only know of two. One is Make Aviv. Make Aviv means he makes a chabur in his father. Another case is Gonev Nefashos Umacharo, right? He kidnaps someone and he sells them as an eved. That's also a capital crime. And if Lu Yitzur, he would violate this Bishogeg, then he doesn't have the possibility, can't avail himself of the kaparas katas. And this is based on a sugya in Masechta Krisus and Masechta Yevamos, two sugyas, that we only bring a katas, an avera, which if he did it b'mezid, he would be chayv karis. Meaning, let's say there was no asra for misa, he would be chayv karis. So karis is a substitute for misa. In the case where Bezdin cannot meet out the Misa. Again, we're talking about a Mezid. So if he does the same Aver B'shogeg, the Gemara says, he brings a Karma Chatas. But the case, for example, of Osa Chabura B'Aviv B'Mezid, he's not Chayev Karis. Either he's Chayev Misas Bezdin, or he's not Chayev Karis. And therefore, in the case of Shogeg, he doesn't bring a Karma Chatas. So the Gemara says, now we might think that when the Torah says, don't take a kapara, a kofer, and a pigeon, to substitute for misa, that's only in the case of a misa chamura. And how do I know it's a misa chamura? Because the Torah was machmir and says, b'shogeg, you're not going to have the availability of a karma chata. Shechmir v'shkagasa is therefore we're going to be machmir, and we're going to say that he has to be put to death when he violates it b'mezid, and there's no possibility of pidyon. So in other words, the Gemara is operating with the principle of ein lecha bol mechidush ovielch, meaning when the Torah says something, we're going to limit it to the case that's most obvious. Here in the case of do not take a kofar, we're going to limit it to the most chomer dikka, capital punishment. And again, emotionally you may tell me that certainly ritzicha is more hideous of a crime than even wounding one's father, or for sure from sending someone, you know, selling someone as an eved. Again, I'm not trying to justify those averes. Don't misunderstand me. Those are capital crimes. But I wouldn't put them on the same level as ritzicha. But yet, more paradoxically, you're saying that they are more chomer on the pyramid than ritzicha itself. Because in ritzicha, the Torah says, had you done it b'shogeg, you would be able to avail yourself of the kapar of golos. And in the case of all the other capital crimes, like Avodah Zarah, Chil Shabbos, and Gilui Arayos, the Torah again says that he could be miskaper al yidei chatas. However, in the cases of what the Gemara calls misos chamuros, and what makes them, what defines them as misos chamuros? Not because intuitively you think this is a worse aver, more hideous of a crime, more destructive and corruptive. No. But because lo nitno shigigos l'kapara, there's a technical law here, a regulation, that these misos bezdin do not lend themselves to kapara. No kapara in the shogeg. So that's a chumra. That puts that chiyuv misa on a separate level. But in the case of misos kalo, shenitno shigigos l'kapara minayim. How do we know that here too, the Torah prohibits us from taking a redemption? Again, only because when we have a chiddush, we have to logically limit that chiddush to the most obvious case. And the most obvious case that you cannot take a pidyon is in what we call misos chamuros. But what about the case of misos kalos? Again, it's a funny phrase, misos kalos with a kuf. You know, this is a light misa. The man committed murder and he gets a misa kalo. Yet only in the halachic universe could you even begin to imagine such a phrase. So how do we know that even in the case of chayvim misas kalos, they cannot be poda themselves? Talmud Loma called chayrem asher yechram min ha'odem lo yipod emos yumos. And it says kol chayrem, and it comes to be marve that even in the case of a chayvim misas of misos kalos, nevertheless there's no possibility of pidyon. Now again, all this is very beautiful, except the Gemara is completely, at this point, is completely ignoring a pasuk in Chumash. The Torah says, "Velo." In fact, the Gemara, "Velo min meila." Don't we know this anyway? The Torah says, "Lo tikhu kofer lenefesh otzeach," which means shamet mino. We derive from this pasuk, "Lo tishkol mamonu minei v'tiftere." We cannot accept a check in place of putting him to death. So that's the chiddush itself that we derive from this possible sikhu kofel nefesh otzeah, and that we shouldn't take money from someone who's chayav misa in order to pater him from misa. And the parsha is a rotzeah. Now, which category does a rotzeah fit in? Is that called a misa kala or a misa chamura?
All right, the rotzeah is a chamura.
No, misa. We're talking about rotzeah. Right? The Torah says lo sikhu kofel nefesh otzeah. So where does Rotzeach fit into our constellation? Is that a Misa Kala or a Misa Chamura? Did I lose you? I mean, I spent 10 minutes on this. I'm getting nervous here. You guys giving me cold feet. Right, Rotzeach is a Misa Kala. Why is it a Misa Kala? Because had you done it b'shogeg, you would have a kapara by going into goals. Again, that's why I said it's a paradox. I cannot calm you down about this. I can't calm myself down about this. Okay, so you know, this drives me crazy to call a Rotzeach a Misa Kala. But anyway, in the context of a Misa Kala, the Torah says, "Lo sikhu kofer lenefesh Rotzeach." So that means that your distinction between Kala and Chamura, your justification that I need the pasuk called Chayim lo yipada to teach me that even a Misa Kala, there's no possibility of pidyon, that doesn't hold water, because in the parish of Rotzeach, the Torah says lo tikhu kofer. And that's a Misa Kala. It's called Chayim lo mali. So now we're about to turn to page Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. Omar Rami Bar Chama Itzrich. I need Kol Chayrim for a different reason. Salkat, I would have thought. And here we turn to Lamed Ches. Hani Mili. When does the Torah say that you're not allowed to take a pigeon? Meaning you can't substitute a pigeon for a chiyuv misa, like for example in case of rotzeach. And now the Gemara is going to break down rotzeach into two categories. There's a lesser rotzeach and there's a worse rotzeach. Now, how are we going to judge whether it's a worse rotzeach, you know, the shpitz, the most chavrdik ritzicha, or it's a lesser ritzicha? We're going to use the barometer of shogeg. And we're going to ask ourselves the question, did the Torah allow him to get a kapara in the case of shogeg by going to the Miklat? Or did the Torah say, no, your aver is too severe, even though it was a shkaga, we're not going to allow you to avail yourself of any method of kapara, and you won't go to the Miklat. And that's the difference, if you learn Masechta HaMakis, between Derech Aliyah and Derech Yiridah, that the Torah says, Vayapel Allah Vayamos, which is a pasuk in Parshas Masai, and there it says that it went down. And the Gemara establishes Masechta HaMakis, Tav Zayinam Beis, Ein on the B'chayiv Golus, Ad Shehore Derech Nefila, which is Derech Yiridah. Right, so let's say, for example, you remember the case where he's rolling something he's flattening the tar on his roof. So if he rolls it forward and it falls down and kills somebody, or if he's climbing a ladder and he falls backwards and he falls down and kills somebody, then we allow him to be miskaper and avail himself of golos. So for example, the Gemara has a case in Masechta HaMakis where he's holding on to an axe. And he accidentally kills someone. So Gemara says, if he kills him when his arm is on its way down, then he goes into golos. But then there's something called derech aliyah. Derech aliyah means where something goes up. So let's say, for example, he takes this knife, and when he swings up, the Gemara says, even though it's litzorech yirida, you know, sometimes the butcher goes up in order to get more force and power to go down. But in any event, while he was going up, he killed somebody. B'shogeg. In such a case, that's derech aliyah. A person is expected to be much more careful in derech aliyah. Derech yirida is something that takes you totally by surprise. You know, you're climbing up a ladder and you fall backwards. You know, that's already a shogeg. You know, that I could say, again, you could have been more careful, etc., etc. You should have looked at who's on the bottom, they're below you. But nevertheless, you're a shogeg. And the Torah says, nitna shigigas l'kapar. But heicha d'harago derech aliyah. And the Torah says that if you killed somebody when you were going from up, from down to up is the Torah's more machmir if you kill somebody, and even though you were shogeg, lo nitna, shigagasa l'kapara, in derech aliyah, he doesn't have the possibility of availing himself of golus as a mechaper. Is then, you could say the following, that since if a man kills someone, b'derech aliyah, now we're talking about a mezid case, and he's chayav misa, the Torah says, don't take a kofar. Why? Because this guy is a real full-fledged murderer. And how do I know that his avera is more chomer than had he killed b'derech yirida? You know, you and I would have said, well, what difference does it make? He was deliberate. You know, he deliberate about killing on the way down and deliberate on the way up. There's no nuance of a difference. But the answer is, in the halakhic universe, there's something called a misa chamura, and there's something called a misa kala. And how do we gauge this? Whether or not in a shogeg situation it would lend itself to kapara? Well, guess what? In the case of derech yirida, the ritzicha is a ritzicha kala, because it lends itself to a kapara. In the shogeg, it lends itself to kaparas golos. That's called b'al hargo derech yirida nitna shigagasa l'kapara. Whereas, in contrast, hargo derech aliyah is lo nitna shigagasa l'kapara. If he had killed her b'shogeg, he would not run to the Miklat. And I think, if I remember correctly, as a habmini, that the Gol Adam could kill him outside the Miklat, because he doesn't have the protection of the Miklat. He's already what you call Karav Lemezi. And in that case, that the Torah is very machmir about such a rotzeach, that lo nitna shigigas l'kapara, then for his violation we have to put him to death. There's no allowance here for a kofar, for a kapara. But in the case Aval Bahargo Def Yerida Dinitna Shigigasla Kapara Ema, I might think Nishkal Mamonamine Veniftere. Maybe he could save himself and spare himself from death by paying a check. It's called Mashmalah. Now I need the pasuk called Chayrim Asher Yichram Min HaAdam Lo Yipademos Yumas, which we said was extra, was superfluous, according to Rabbi Chananya Ben Akavya. Now we're going to need it to teach me that even in the case of a Misa Kala in Rotzeach, again, Rotzeach itself is a Misa Kala, right? But because it lends itself to Shkog. But there is a case of Rotzeach that becomes a Misa Chamur, and that's when you kill him Derech Aliyah, because in that very Tzuras Maisa Vera of Maisa Tzicha, there would be no possibility of Shigigaso Gol, Shigigaso Kapar. And therefore, I might think that will limit the Iser of Lo Siklu Kofel and Nefesh Rotzeach to the case of a Misa Chamura, which is the case of Hargo Derech Aliyah. And now I need the Pasuk called Cherem Lo Yipade to teach me that even in the case of Derech Yerida, where it's a lower case Ritzicha, where the Chiyuv Misa is B'Derech Yerida, means that it was Nitna Shigagosa L'Kapara, had he killed Derech Yerida, because the Shogeg, he would go into Yer Miklad and avail himself of the Kapara of Yer Miklad. Is in that case, maybe I would think that he's allowed, and we're allowed to accept a kofar and a pigeon to redeem him from the death penalty. We need the Pasuk Kol Chir. So let's just summarize the sugya as we learned it until this point, before we get to Amalei Rava and the sugya of Tana Devinas. We have three psukim, and we'll have a fourth as well, but we have three psukim that teach us that there's no possibility of a pidyon for someone who is a mezid, and he's chayav misas bezid for a mezid. We have number one, the pasuk lo sikhu kofer lenefesh rotzeach. And Shogeg, we're going to have a similar pasuk, but we're not up to Shogeg yet. We're dealing with Mezid now. So we have number one, Lo Sikhu Kofel and Efesh Rotzeach. Number two, we have the pasuk called Cherem Asher Yechem and Adam Lo Yipadeh. And we have the ribuy of Kol Cherem, the extra word Kol. One of them is going to teach us, again, and we're going to go from more Chomer to less Chomer, because again, if we only had one pasuk, we would limit that pasuk to a more Chomer situation. Then you can't take pigeon, but you can theoretically in the Habamim, you can take pigeon in a lesser kal situation. So the most Chomer on the totem pole is going to be Chayve Misos Chamuros She'ein B'minam Kapar L'Shoge, which means we said Gonev Nefesh Mecharo. We had the case of Chovel Be Aviv, and in those cases where had he done the shogeg, he would have no availability of the kapara of chatos. That's the most chomer. Okay, now we get down to misos kalos. So we need a pasuk for misos kalos. Let's say, for example, rotzeach. So for that, I need the pasuk of rotzeach. Oh, but that alone is not enough. So even though it says lo sikhu kofel nefesh rotzeach, maybe that's only a rotzeach chamur, which means that lo nitna shigagasa l'kapar, that's going to be derech aliyah. But now we need a third pasuk. What about a chayve misos kalos, which means that there is kapara? In the case of shogeg, there would be kapara b'derech yerida. Now, we have another pasuk about shogeg itself, because shogeg itself is not such a serious avera. He goes into golos. Maybe he can spare himself from golos by redeeming himself. So that we need the pasuk of lo sikhu kofer lonus shog. Amalei Rava. Rava turns to Rami Bar Choma. Again, this whole sugya that we just learned was the sugya of Rami Bar Choma. And he tried to explain why we need the pasuk called Cherem. So Rava turns to Rami Bar Choma and he says, wait a minute, you think you need a pasuk to include even Derech Yerida, meaning you would have limited this pasuk to Derech Aliyah? Impossible. Because we have Tana de Bechizkiah. Now Tana de Bechizkiah is predicated on an absolute equation between Derech Aliyah and Derech Yerida. Let's read it through. The Tana Dvechizkiah, the Torah says, Umaka Behem Yishal Men Umaka Adam Yumas. We have a Hekish here, one Pasuk. I believe it's at the end of Emor. Check me out on that. And it says, both Maka Behem and Maka Adam. So Maka Adam, which is called Adam Amazik, the Torah is going to tell you that you're always. I'm sorry. Did I say Maka Adam? I meant to say Maka Behem. Sorry. Maka Behem, which is Adam Amazik, the Torah says you're Chayev in all cases. So we're going to go through three different distinctions or twin sets, and we're going to say in all those cases you're always chayev. And then in Maka Adam, we're going to go through the same three twin cases, and we're going to say you're always potter. That's Tana Dvei Chizki. So Ma Maka Behem Alochi Lachdavo, number one, Bein Shogig Lemezid, number two, Bein Miskavi L'Sheino Miskavi, number three, Bein Derech Yerida L'Derech Aliyah, that in all cases of Adam Amazik, that's called Maka Behem Yechayev, whether or not it was Shogeg or Mezid, whether or not it was Miskaven or She'ena Miskaven, whether or not it was Derech Yerida or Derech Aliyah, everything is equal. And in all cases, you're going to be Chayev Tashlume Nezikin. Why? Because you were responsible for the death of his behem, of his animal. Is af make other by virtue of this hekesh, because they're both written in the same pasuk. We're talking about erot seif b'mezin. In such a case, he's chayv misa, but he doesn't pay mamon, as we derive from our son. And we're going to assume that lo chilakta. Again, we're going to assume just like in make behem lo chilakta, and in all cases he's chayv. Here too, in the case of kimleib the rabbi, in all cases he's going to be potter. V'lo tachlok bo bein b'shogeg. Bein b'meizid, bein b'miskavid, bein b'sheinu miskavid, bein b'derech al yirida, bein b'derech aliyah. L'chayim moment l'fot shomim moment. This is what we call chayim misis shogeg. So even though he's a shogeg, and he's not going to be chayim miso because he's only a shogeg, he's not meizid, or he didn't have kavana, or he killed him b'derech yirida. In all these cases, the Torah is going to say that even though he's a shogeg and he's not chayim miso, nevertheless he's potter from mom. So li'olam, we're always assuming that Maka Adam is potter tashlumin. If he kills a person, he doesn't pay damages. And there are no distinctions. He's always going to be potter from tashlumin. And in all cases that he would have been chayev tashlumin, had it not been a chiyuv misa, he's potter from tashlumin because of a chiyuv misa. So Maka Adam is always potter from Tashlumin, and there's no chilukim here. Now, in Maka Behema, you said he's always chayev, whether or not he was Maka b'derech Aliyah or b'derech Yerida. So too, in Maka Adam, he's always going to be potter, whether it's derech Aliyah and derech Yerida. So the Gemara thinks that this price of Tana Dvei Chizkiah is a kasha on Rabbi Bar Chama. Why? Because the premise is that we equate Derech Aliyah with Derech Yerida. We don't make any distinctions between the two. And just like we don't distinguish between the two as far as Ptura Tashlumin, meaning Kimlei V'Ramine, Hu Adin, we're going to apply the same logic, that as far as the possibility of Pidyon, which means that the Torah is telling you you're not allowed to accept Pidyon for Chayav Misa, we're not going to make any distinction between Derech Aliyah and Derech Yerida. We don't need a pasuk of Kol Cherem to teach me that even in Derech Yerida we're not allowed to take Pidyon, because the Torah itself has an absolute equation between Derech Aliyah and Derech Yerida, and you see it from Tana Dvei Chizkiah. Okay, Rabosai. So now at this point, which we'll bleed out and pick up tomorrow, Rabbi Bar Chama is going to have to go back to the drawing board, and he's going to have to reinterpret the pasuk. And he's going to drop the chiluk between Derech Aliyah and Derech Yerida. So if I can show you for a... So, okay, I don't want to bother you.